Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. I'm your host, Rick Campos. Today, we welcome Wendy Young of Wendy Young Design. With over 20 years in the design business, Wendy, along with her talented design team, has completed hundreds of full-scale interior design projects for clients near and far. Wendy has witnessed firsthand the transformation of the design industry and has responded both creatively and from a business perspective with acceptance and innovation. Her thoughtful approach to business and design has served her well over the years, and her message today is both thought-provoking and inspiring. Let's get started. Welcome, Wendy, to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone has been so supportive and so willing to support me in the podcast. I'm a working designer, just like the rest of you, as you know. And so this is something that I do late at night or on the weekends. And so all of you are so generous with your time, with your lunch hours and your 7 p.m.s and your 8 a.m.s on a Saturday. So I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Well, Wendy Young, can you start by telling us about yourself and your business so we can get everyone up to speed?
Sure. I own Wendy Young Design. I've been in business on my own for 23 years. I've been working in the industry for almost 30 years. We primarily focus on new construction or major remodels, and I have a staff of 7.
Excellent. And what is your, are you primarily California? Do you go anywhere?
We go anywhere. We've done projects in New York, and we've done projects in Hawaii. Right now we have 2 or 3 of them going in Northern California. But I would say the majority of our business is here in Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, Corona Del Mar, and Huntington.
Are you finding that your out-of-state work are secondary or vacation homes for previous clients, or are you just marketing in those areas?
They are. Although the projects that we were working on, or that we are working on in Northern California, they came because they hired me first to design their second home here, and then their primary residence followed after that. So, yeah, sometimes it's the other way around.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah. Seems a little backwards, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
Great. And tell us a little bit about your office staff and how that works.
Sure. There's myself, an office manager who handles all of the purchasing, ordering, expediting, all the day-to-day needs and wants of the office. She's very good at the bookkeeping and client interaction with regards to finances. I have 2 project managers, and they handle anywhere between 2 and 4, sometimes 5 projects each. And then I have another project manager that works on a few of the smaller projects, and an assistant and a receptionist.
Great.
Yeah.
You got your own village going on here.
Yeah. It just kind of happened.
It
was not a plan. It just happened.
It just evolved over time.
That's correct.
But yeah. I mean, it sounds like you've paced yourself and it's taken a good long time to get here. And sounds like you were very mindful and calculated about growing that team and expanding to the level that you are now.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. Anytime that we add a new staff member, it is done with intention, and it is done with a lot of forethought and discussion amongst the existing staff, exactly what type of person we need to look for, what the tasks are that they would be assigned. So it is always done with a lot of thought, but of course there's always need behind that.
Sure.
And I've been really, really lucky to cultivate a staff that is so supportive and just so dang talented.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Before we started the interview, we talked about culture a little bit, about your office culture. And if you'd like to share a little bit about that with our listeners, because that was a great part of our pre-conversation. So I'd like to extend it into the podcast interview, because I think culture is so important in design, in any creative field, specifically because a lot of times our businesses are 10 people or less. Mm-hmm. And a small office means that everyone gets really kind of close to one another and mm-hmm. you kind of know each other's business. You all work very, very closely hand in hand. And culture is really, really important in our industry. And the more I talk to different design firms and owners and team members, the more I hear how valuable it is to have that level of trust and that feeling of camaraderie and just that comfort level in the office that really kind of promotes the creativity and supports the creativity.
Right. Well, that is something that I, again, mindfully cultivate. Mm-hmm. We are all very close. Like I had said before, a number of the staff members have been with me for a very long time. I think the longest one is 13, going on 14 years. Oh. Another gal has been with me for 10, both project managers, over 5 years. The newbie is, you know, just a few months old. So, you know, it really kind of runs the gamut, but we are all really, really close. I try to make sure that everybody is well taken care of, and I want them to truly thrive, not only here at the office, but also in their personal lives. And I try to organize the office and structure our workload so that they are able to have all of their needs met, mm-hmm. or you know, it's certainly the majority of their needs met. So we have one gal out on maternity leave right now, and so we all just kind of jump in and we take over working on her projects. There's another gal that works for me who really wants to spend a little bit more time with her son, so she has Fridays off. Mm-hmm. And we are all very supportive of one another. You know, we're all very transparent. We care. I mean, sincerely care about one another. And I would say it's much more like a family than it is just business oriented. Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question?
It did. It did. Because I liked talking about it. I'm glad that we're talking about it because that balance is really important.
It's really important.
It's really important. Yeah. And, you know, and I go back and forth. You know, our office has a very similar culture. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to switch from that business to personal mindset and achieve and maintain that balance, it's a real challenge. Mm-hmm. And but it's really important.
Yes.
It's really important because once that synergy is established amongst your team members and everyone is on the same page and they're on the same playing field, just that's when the magic happens.
That's right.
You know?
Well, and I had not always been that way because I was so driven, I just expected everybody else to be driven. And mm-hmm. because I wanted to be here 24/7, I expected everybody else to be here 24/7. But I think it comes with a level of maturity, not only with regard to age, certainly, but also with regard to business experience. Mm-hmm. And you learn that just being here all the time and working more doesn't necessarily translate into either a better project or the gain with all of that is just not as great as it is when everybody has a more well-rounded lifestyle.
What would you say would be the secret to your survival in your 23 plus years of being in this crazy interior design business?
I don't know. I have no secrets. As you know, I will tell you anything.
Which I love about you.
And I will share anything with anybody.
So for the listeners, Wendy and I, we've known each other for about 10 years.
Yeah.
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 And we've been confidants, if you will.
Right.
For the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated over all of these years the ability to speak with you openly and just share ideas and talk business. Mm-hmm. And really, that's part of the foundation for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's awesome. Yeah. And now I forgot the original question. Oh, the secret to my survival. I would say probably the most important thing for me and lasting as long as I have and reaching this level of success, however you want to define it, has probably been having an open mind and being open to listening, being open to learning, being open to opposing ideas or opposing opinions, being open to to getting to know someone, I think that here in this office, we have an uncanny ability, and it's probably just more intuitive than anything else, but we have the ability to really get to know our clients and know them to the point of taking their ideas or their wants or their desires or and just surpassing their expectation. I know a lot of interior designers, you know, they have a certain look and they have a certain style, and it's just amazing when they are so identifiable by their brand or their style. I think that's awesome. But we don't really have anyone's style. And ours is always focused around the client. It's focused around the home. And if you listen to the client, and I do believe that a house also tells you what it wants. So if you listen to a client, if you listen to the house, and you approach it with an open mind, everything falls into place. And the synergy then between the client and the home, the new home that they are now living in, it's just something that is so gratifying for us to be able to have a part in that and to help create that and help support that.
Well, I've had other designers say, listen to the client. We've all said that before, but I've never heard anyone say, listen to the home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
And it's, I don't know, it's something that I've always felt. And there are times that, you know, I'll ask the builder or I'll ask the client or I'll tell them that I just need some time in the house and I need it.
Yeah.
You know, we need time by ourselves. And we will intentionally show up to a job site meeting, you know, an hour or two prior to anyone else getting there, just so we can walk it and feel it. And we're not necessarily even discussing it or analyzing it. It's more of just getting a feel and imagining, visualizing the things that we are talking about doing. Is it right?
Right.
Is it right for the house? And is it right for the client?
Listen to the home. It has a voice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I feel strongly about that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. I feel an Instagram moment coming on.
Right.
So, Wendy, with that being said, could you share with us the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then?
Oh, gosh. You mean 30 years ago?
Sure.
23 years ago?
Sure.
That everything is going to work out exactly as it should. That it does. It all works out exactly as it should, for better or for worse. And I was sharing, you know, not so positive experience, you know, on owning a piece of furniture that, you know, I'd rather not, that I wish would have fit just perfectly and it didn't. But that, even that error in our judgment, there were reasons for it. So now we could go back, look at our system, say, okay, where was the breakdown?
You learn from it.
We learn from it. Yeah. And I think, isn't that what life is all about?
Totally.
It's just one big lesson.
Completely.
Right. Completely. Right.
So just embrace it.
Right. Well, yeah, you can't stop it. It is what it is.
And I think so many of us have wasted so much time, sleepless nights and worrying and wondering and anticipating. And when you really just have to let things happen.
Yeah. I mean, we do have, you know, I worked in the industry for a long time prior to going on my own. And I worked for some larger firms that have, that had really, really good systems in place. And recognizing that you can set up a business where things are kind of running, that they have a better chance of running smoothly because you're following the steps you need to follow. So we don't just willy-nilly say, oh, you know, throw it to the interior design gods and say they'll take care of us. Yeah, I mean, we are very thoughtful and very intentional with everything that we design.
Right.
But there are times that mistakes are made or things are overlooked. And it's really just a breakdown in how you process the work going through your business.
Right.
You know, we're super organized. You know, you can look around. This is what our place looks like all the time.
You didn't tidy up for me?
I did not tidy. I swear to God.
I actually believe you, and I'll say that on the record because every time I've been in your space, it always looks like this, so I know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think all of us here can work so much more easily when everything has a place and is in its place. It's just easiest for us to work. When we pull, I had a presentation pulled on the other table. When we pull for a presentation and, when we're reorganizing and putting things away or pulling things out, yeah, there are things all over. But for the most part, this allows everybody to work freely without being in each other's way. And yeah.
Could you talk to us a little bit about the transformation of the industry and how you see it, what it was like back when you started, what it has evolved into probably over the course of the last decade, and what you feel it is now?
Well, when I first started, it was almost like a secret society. You know, there was so much, there was so much information and even so much work that was accomplished behind the scenes, and it was all very private and very secret. Our pricing was private. Clients really didn't know a lot about how we did our work.
Yeah.
And now, look at the internet. How long has it been around?
Right.
25 years?
Yeah.
I've been in business as long as the internet has been around. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it has allowed... there's positives and negatives with anything, but it has allowed our clientele to go behind the scenes, to see how things work and to educate themselves and really kind of develop. I mean, I think it's good. I think it's good that everybody has a chance to really get to know who they are and what they want in the home that they live in.
Right.
And for a period of time, I think all interior designers were going through that push and pull of how much information do you give them and how much information do you keep quiet, and the struggle between allowing them to kind of do their own thing and us feeling and truly knowing more and a little bit better than they on how to execute what it is that they were trying to achieve. So, you know, the interior, the internet, the social media, the all of the sites that are now available to anybody, it allows them to kind of do things on their own. So at first, I think interior designers thought that that would be the demise of the interior design industry. Like, oh my gosh, we're just going to be put out of business by this little computer that's sitting on someone's desk.
Right.
And in reality, nobody can do interior design the way I do it. And nobody does interior design the way you do it. And we all approach it from a different place. And I think that the experience that we bring to the table of all of those pieces of furniture that we now own that we wish we didn't, you know, or, you know, the projects that just turn out amazing and things that even surpass our expectations.
Yeah.
With all of that experience, that means more and brings greater value to a project than the 2 hours spent on the internet finding a piece of furniture on your own.
Right.
So, and I've had discussions even with clients where, you know, they're wondering why they're paying me a markup on furnishing when they can just go buy it themselves. And I let them know that the markup on furnishing, it's not covering the 2 minutes of time that it took me to go and find that piece of furniture, because they're saying, you know, I could do the same. The markup on that furniture piece comes from the 30 years I've spent in the industry to know exactly what piece I'm going to pull, the reason I'm pulling it, knowing it's absolutely perfect in the matter of 2 minutes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's more than just a couple of keystrokes on a keyboard.
Right.
That's years and years worth of experience.
Absolutely.
You know the quality. You know the backstory. You know the vendor. So much more.
And
than
I
that.
Know what it's going to do to the space. I know the effect it's going to have on the space once it's installed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I remember, you know, I kind of got into the industry about 10 years ago, right about that time when that upheaval was happening that you were kind of referred mm-hmm. to, as far as, you know, is the internet going to be the demise of the interior design field? Is HGTV going to put us all out of work? And it was, there was a lot of,
you know,
there was a lot of angst. Yeah. There was a lot going on. But, you know, now fast forward 10 years, I feel like the majority of the design community is where you just described. Mm. They're at this new level of accepting and embracing and understanding what is mm-hmm. and what we bring to the table and the mm-hmm. difference. And more importantly and most importantly, relaying that to the clients and educating them.
Right.
The difference.
Right.
And what our value is.
Right. Yeah, for the new designers, I think that's what they need to understand. Their value is so much more mm-hmm. than the price tag on a piece of furniture.
Right.
And when they are discounting themselves for the sake of matching something that someone can purchase on their own, it's really a detriment to themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little more complicated. We're no longer just selling furniture anymore.
Oh,
we're
absolutely
selling our
not.
Value.
Yeah.
I think that we as design professionals have really had to step up to the plate mm-hmm. and bring something a little different and new to the table than we did 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes back to your point about growth and evolution.
Right.
It's a natural part of our day to day, and we just have to let it happen.
Right.
And don't fight it.
Right.
Don't fight it.
Yeah.
You know, respond to it.
That's a losing battle.
It's
a losing battle.
It's a losing battle.
Yeah. So if you could just kind of go with the flow and just do your very best and know that you have your clients back and help them, shepherd them through the process mm-hmm. and make sure that you're working in their best interest.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Right.
You know.
Right. And I mean, you're a testament. Here you are. 23 years later, mm-hmm. You know, still in the same game, mm-hmm. slightly different rules.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it really is kind of the same game.
Yes.
And as your
yes.
business grows, you have to grow as a designer and as an individual and as a business person to just kind of respond to the market.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you were willing to talk a little bit about the evolution.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the design community and the design industry. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How would you say, Wendy, that you pay it forward in the design community? Because I think that's such an important part of what we do and who we are.
Yeah, when I was younger, it was very important to me to be part of the community. So I, you know, being a member of ASID and being a board member and really volunteering my services on developing a community of interior designers mm-hmm. and creating a place to cultivate ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got a little older, I realized that I had so much knowledge that I wasn't necessarily sharing. So that's when, well, one of the times that you and I got together was having that emerging professionals meeting.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah,
that
talking about, you know, business to all of the younger interior designers.
Yeah,
it was so good, and so many of them have gone on to do amazing things. And I hire young people. Most of my new hires, especially in interior design, they're relatively new out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that they know with regards to our projects, I've kind of taught them and I've groomed them and I've shown them more than just the technical aspects of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really have such an appreciation to hear and listen and learn from their younger, newer ideas.
Right.
I love that. And another way that we pay it forward in the design community, we've designed homes for Habitat for Humanity, and that's always been very, very gratifying.
Yes.
I do go back to Interior Designers Institute, and I talk to the students there,
mm-hmm.
tell them, you know, my story, hoping that they'll be able to, you know, just glean a little bit from what I've done and insert it into their their personal growth. And I teach classes over IDI. So yeah, I think it's important to really to stay involved.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to support the young ones coming up.
Yeah.
So I can go retire.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm big on the future of interior design. And I too am involved at IDI, where I went to school as well. And it's always refreshing to see the students that are going through the program and who are ultimately going to be a part of our design community and who may be working with us or for us.
That's right. Well, and so many, when they go through this, the design program, and it's a very good program, mm-hmm. but when they go through it, they have a certain idea of what their life should look like upon graduation. Mm-hmm. And then they're always shocked that it does not look exactly how they had intended. So I'm, you know, doing things like this, I think it's amazing that you do this because it gives them a little bit more insight that just because, you know, they're not designing multi-million dollar homes the day after they graduate, they'll get there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a path for everyone to take.
Right.
And maybe they don't even want to do that. They feel compelled because that's what everyone says they should do, but maybe they don't even want to do that.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Such a good point.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody just needs to try to remain as authentic to themselves as they can, mm-hmm. and really kind of follow their own path. I do think that the millennials are better at that. Mm-hmm. That they are not as hung up. I don't know. I imagine they're not as hung up on what other people want of them.
Right.
That they're just trying to, you know, find their own way.
I was just thinking the same thing. They are mm-hmm. not as hung up on society's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
They really are their own pioneers, you know right. what I mean? Which I think is great.
Yeah, isn't that
for
awesome?
Them in this field, in the creative field, in design, to be that is amazing.
Right.
They're going to go far.
I agree with you.
Because that's half the battle.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Forge your own way. Be authentic to yourself.
Right.
Do what you love and help your clients in the end.
Yeah. That should be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge. It's a challenge that we've all overcome.
Right.
Everyone will. And we continue to do so.
Yeah.
Can you share with the listeners how they can find you online to see your website and to see your amazing work? And then also to follow you on any form of social media. I know that you're on Instagram. So
if
you want to share that with the listeners, and then we'll put notes as well.
Sure. My website is just wendyyoung.com. I can be found on Instagram at Wendy Y Design. And it's funny, I took 6 months off of Instagram. I haven't posted anything except for a few things here and there.
Right.
Because I thought, okay, I just need a hiatus. I need to see what the world is like without looking at my phone. So I kind of took a 6 month sabbatical.
Yeah.
And I just returned from safari in Africa, and now I am dying to post and even talking about it, the things that I learned there and the interconnectedness of mm-hmm. travel and design and personal growth. So that's just getting ready to My hiatus is getting ready to expire.
On Instagram, that's excellent.
Yeah, I'll be posting that.
6 month hiatus. That must have been difficult.
It was hard.
Because we all love our social media so much, and it's such a big part of what we do every day. And I mean, I'm learning and I'm relying on social media in a new and fresh way that I ever had to before with the podcast.
Right.
And so I can really understand how it becomes a tool in your toolbox every day of your
business.
Absolutely.
Well, and what I found, and I just did it as a little experiment. There was, you know, no other reason. But what I found is I'm missing that connectedness to even, I mean, certainly people that follow me, but even to others that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
And creating a dialogue and creating a community mm-hmm. among just people in the industry.
Right.
And others. So that I am missing that component. At first I thought I was caught up in it, and that's one reason why I took the hiatus, but I'm missing that. And now I know I can go back and do it.
Yes.
And just be very intentional and use it more like a tool and not like a diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wendy, thanks a million for being a part of the podcast. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh gosh, you're so welcome.
Well, as you probably gathered by listening to the interview, Wendy and I go way back, and we have a history of discussing the business of design together. Wendy has been one of my most trusted allies in the design community, and I couldn't be more excited to have her on the podcast and to share her valuable insight with our listeners. Listening to Wendy describe the importance of having an open mind when approaching the design process was so refreshing and uplifting. I can see how that mindset transcends across all aspects of her design business, from client interactions to team relations and office culture. Wendy's insight on the transformation of the design industry undoubtedly resonates with every design professional listening. Acknowledging the past is important and acts as a good point of reference when evaluating where we are today as a design community. We are in a new and exciting place right now, this minute, and I, for one, could not be more excited to be a part of this progressive, contributing, and supportive design community. For a link to Wendy's website, visit our webpage, designbizsurvivalguide.com. While you're there, be sure to check out the Resources tab, where you'll find some of my favorite books and business resources available through my direct link to Amazon. Thank you for listening.